Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, today we continue with our series called Awesome Relationships. In it, Pastor Rick Warren will show you how to take your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and even God from average to awesome. You don't want to miss a second of this relationship building series. Just before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous friend of the broadcast is offering a $10,000 matching grant for listeners giving a gift to Daily Hope for the very first time. So please go to PastorRick.com right now and give a gift to help Daily Hope share the certain hope of Jesus with people everywhere. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Fighting for an Awesome Family.
I talk to guys all the time, says, I don't get it. I buy my wife and kids all these trinkets and things, and I give them everything they need. What do they want? I'll tell you what they want. They want you. They want your attention. They want your focus. They want your eyes. They want your time. You spell love, T-I-M-E. The greatest gift you can give your kids is your time, because when you give them your time, you're giving your life. You can always buy things. Kids don't need things. They need time. They need fun with the family. They need fun in the home. They need it to not be a boot camp or something we're just all working on. They want time with you. And so Candyland is the symbol of an awesome family, because awesome families are playful. Now, the second symbol of an awesome family is a watering can. A watering can, because we use this to water flowers, plants, you know, vegetables. And in many ways, a family is like a garden. You have to grow it. You have to develop it. You have to cultivate it. A garden doesn't grow on its own. You have to weed it. You have to water it. You have to care for it. And this is the second characteristic of awesome families that makes them different from average families. Write this down. Awesome families encourage growth. They create an atmosphere of lifelong learning. They help each other develop. They encourage the discovery of each person in the family's shape, S-H-A-P-E. And one of the things that you do in an awesome family is you support each other. And I'm not just talking about the kids growing up. I'm saying that you're always growing. Your family never stops growing. Mom never stops growing. Everybody encourages mom to grow. Dad never stops growing. Everybody encourages dad to grow. Brother, sister, everybody encourages everybody to keep growing. If you're not growing, your family is boring. You're just stuck in a rut. You haven't learned anything new, developed any new interest in a long time. Your family's boring. Now look at how Jesus grew. The Bible tells us in Luke 2:52, this is when Jesus was 12 years old. It says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and favor with men. Now notice, there are four kinds of growth you want to have in your family. You grow in wisdom, that's intellectual growth, mental growth. You grow in stature, that's physical health. You grow in favor with God, that's spiritual growth. And you grow in favor with man, that's social growth. Every person in your family needs to be growing in all four of these, not just the kids, but you, mom, you, dad, you, brother, you, sister. You need to be growing physically, mentally, spiritually, and socially. How are you going to be different a year from today? Do you know any more than you knew a year ago? Are you closer to God than you were a year ago? Are you more loving than you were a year ago? Are you literally growing? Awesome families encourage growth. Average families just stay the same. Nobody changes. Nobody grows. Now, I asked the kids, what have you learned in your family? And here's what they said.
It's not all about me, and then it's about other people, and you need to love.
They always teach me homework.
They've taught me a lot of math,
a lot of Spanish. They taught me how to read and write.
They've taught me to never run away at Disneyland.
Not say bad words.
Like if my brother gets mad at me, I shouldn't get mad at him again.
Do not talk to strangers.
To be kind.
Be kind.
And you won't. And if you don't be kind, you don't get any friends.
God's love never stops.
Don't copy the behaviors of this world.
Try to be teachable.
My mom teaches me how to hula hoop.
Hula hoop.
Even if it's hard to tell the truth, that you should always do it.
Manners?
Well, my dad always says manners make the man.
They taught me a lesson about God.
That family never gives up, and that family is always there. You can always count on them to be there for you.
Even when you go through hard times, always trust in God, and because he'll help you get through it.
Now, what do we really learn from our families? Well, there's some things, if you don't learn them in your family, you're never going to learn them. You can't learn them at school. You can't learn them at work. You only can learn them in your family. And I will tell you this. Most of your problems as an adult comes from the fact that you didn't learn certain things correctly as a child. And if you didn't learn certain skills as a child, then you're going to have a rough life the rest of your life. There are five things you must learn in your family. And if you don't learn them there, life's going to be tough for you. You might write these down. The first thing we have to learn is what to do with feelings.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
If you've been listening to the broadcast for a while, you know that Pastor Rick is always saying that God wants your relationships to be more than just fair, average, good, or even great. He wants your relationships to be awesome, life-giving, filled with joy and purpose. That's why he created the Awesome Relationships Bible Study. Through this four-session DVD and workbook study, you'll discover the tools you need to build an awesome marriage and family, awesome friendships, and most importantly, an awesome relationship with God. This resource is perfect for individual or group study. And today, we'll send you Pastor Rick's Awesome Relationships Bible Study as thanks for your gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a desperate and hurting world. Now, if you're giving a first-time gift to Daily Hope today, your gift will be matched up to $10,000 by generous friends of the broadcast. Just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
There are five things you must learn in your family. And if you don't learn them there, life's going to be tough for you. You might write these down. The first one is, the first thing we have to learn is what to do with feelings. One of the most important skills in life. How do I handle my emotions? What do I do with them? How do I deal with how I feel? What do you do with feelings? And in a good, awesome family, you learn how to recognize your feelings, how to name your feelings, how to own up to your feelings, how to identify your feelings, how to express your feelings correctly rather than incorrectly, how not to stuff them, and how to deal with how you feel. If you don't learn how to deal with how you feel in your family, you go through life an emotional cripple. You have to relearn it somewhere else. And the reason why so many marriages split up is because they didn't learn in their family how to deal with how you feel correctly and effectively. And you need to let people be honest and let kids express their emotions. One of the stupidest things a parent can say is, stop crying, don't cry, don't cry. Why? Crying, there's nothing wrong with crying. Tears are a gift from God. If you're telling your kids, stuff your emotions, stuff your emotions, stuff your emotions, they're gonna have problems with their emotions the rest of their life. There's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing to be ashamed of with crying. And telling your kids stop crying is saying, deny your emotions, deny how you feel, and you learn to stuff it. And that comes out in all kinds of strange relationship patterns later on. In a true family, in an awesome family, we learn how to recognize that's a good emotion, that's a harmful emotion. And we learn to name it, own it, speak about it, identify it, talk about it. That's a key. So you name them, you don't stuff them. Second skill you have to learn in the family is how to handle conflict. And if you don't learn how to handle conflict in your marriage or in your family, you're gonna have problems in your marriage. Because you don't know, nobody taught you the skills on how to resolve and clarify conflict. And if kids don't see their parents working problems out in front of them and showing how, this is how we deal when we have a difference. This is how we deal when we get hurt, how we deal with when we get mad. Then you have a problem with that. And what happens is most people in conflict, they become either a mute and a martyr or they become a maniac. They either hold it in or they explode it. Everybody, if you don't learn how to deal with conflict, you tend to become a skunk or a turtle. Now, skunks, when they're upset, they let everybody know it. They just stink up the place. And they spray, and everybody knows they're ticked off. A turtle pulls into their shell and isolates and pulls back out of fear of conflict. Now, here's the interesting thing. Skunks always marry turtles. Don't look at them. But you know one of you is a skunk and one of you is a turtle in your marriage, all right? It's true in every single marriage, all right? One of you is the aggressor and one of you pulls back, and neither of these is the more godly approach. So neither of you get the higher upper ground morally. They're both ineffective ways to deal with conflict. A third thing, really big thing you have to learn in family is how to handle loss, because you're gonna have a lot of losses in life. You're gonna have big losses, you're gonna have small losses. And you gotta teach kids, and even parents have to learn how to grieve a loss, because nobody wins all the time. In fact, for a kid to have an unbroken string of wins in early life with no losses is actually detrimental to them. You don't want your kid to win all the time, because when they get out in the real world and they face the inevitable losses that they're not number one all the time, it's devastating. If they haven't learned that failure won't kill you, failure won't destroy you, a loss won't be the end of your life. You don't win everything. It's like if you're in a professional baseball team, it's actually good to have a few losses in preseason, because then the pressure's off. What you don't want to do is have an unbroken season of all perfect wins and then lose in the Super Bowl. That's the painful. If you're going to lose, you might as well lose early in life and learn from it. And so we learn how to deal with losses, and we treat the losses of kids as big things so they can learn how to grieve. I remember when Matthew, my youngest, was quite young, and he had a pet hamster named Wilson, and Wilson died. Now, we didn't treat it and say, oh, he's just a hamster. Come on. I mean, really, it's just a glorified rat, you know. We didn't just poop and say, oh, you can get another one. I'll get you another one tomorrow. No, we treated it very seriously. We had a family funeral for Wilson. And we went down into the canyon and we buried him in a little box, and we all stood around and we each had our little say of how much we loved Wilson and how much he meant to our family and things like that. And what I was doing is I was teaching the kids the theology of grief. That it's okay to express grief. It's okay to be sad. In fact, you're going to be sad many, many times in life in much bigger ways. And so we don't demean it. We don't dismiss it. We deal with the losses of life. You know, there's another board game that we played a lot growing up. You know this one too. It's called Chutes and Ladders. How many remember Chutes and Ladders? How many have played Chutes and Ladders? Yeah. This is a metaphor for life, friends, because life is a matter of chutes and ladders. You roll a dice, and when you hit a ladder, you get to go up, and you roll a dice, and when you hit a chute, you go down. And that's the way life works. It's not all ups and downs. Now, one of the advantages of games like chutes and ladders is because in games of chance, it puts adults on the exact same level as a kid. You don't have any advantage with your college degree in playing chutes and ladders. Okay? It's just the roll of the dice, so you're no better than a two-year-old at playing this game. And the fact is in life, some things actually you take you up, and you're going to have some real successes in life, but don't get full of pride and don't get, you know, full of ego, because on the next roll, you're going to hit a chute and you're going down. And sometimes you're ahead of everybody else in the family, but in two roles, you may be behind everybody else in the family. That's life. That's life. That's the way life is. And it's teaching kids how to have ups and downs in life, and not get upset about it. A game like this teaches things like take your turn. And some people never learn to take their turn. You can see them on the freeway. Okay. They're just cutting off everybody else. It's not like take your turn in getting into that lane. Okay. It teaches teamwork. But the main thing it teaches is how to win graciously and how to, that losing won't destroy you. That it's just a part of life. So that's one of the reasons, the values of board game is it teaches us how to handle losses. One of the verses you need to memorize, whether you're a parent or not, every person should memorize this verse. Write it down. Proverbs 24:16. You need to teach this verse to your children. Proverbs 24:16. It's one of my life verses. It says this here on the screen. Even if good people fall 7 times, they'll get back up again. I love that verse. It says, even good people fall. The word there actually in Hebrew is the word righteous. It says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. Even when good people fall, you know what? Even the best people, the well-intentioned people, they stumble, they mess up, they flub, they say the wrong thing, they do the wrong thing. We all fall. We all stumble. We all mess up. And when we fall, that's not the important thing. It says, good people get back up again. Even if they fall 7 times. That's the difference between a success and a failure. That verse is talking about what psychologists call resilience. Resilience is the most important characteristic for a child if they're gonna succeed in life. Resilience. Do they have the ability to get back up again? They fall off the bike. See, a lot of kids learn, I'm not even gonna try because I stumbled once. So I give up. I went to one practice at music, and I didn't like it, so I'm just going to give up. I went to one game in soccer, and I didn't like it. All right, I messed up. I embarrassed myself, so I'm going to give up. And so people learn to give up, and then they spend the rest of their lives facing challenges and giving up. But in teaching a child resilience to keep on getting back up, those are the leaders of the world are people who have the most resilience. They're not any more successful. They have just as many losses in life. It's just they don't give up. And they are resilient. Chutes and ladders, metaphor for life. Number four, fourth thing we learn from our families is we learn what values matter most. What values matter most. And you have to just help your kids know this is important and this is not. Now, would you agree that the world is teaching our kids values that aren't very good? Everybody agree with that one? All around us, the world is teaching our kids values that we don't agree with. The world teaches that all that matters is how you look, that image is everything. Doesn't matter what your character is, it's how you look. The world teaches that the more money you have, the more important you are, the more successful, the more fulfilled you'll be, the more significant your life is. That's not true. The world teaches is that everything is about sex. It's not. It's not. The world teaches that the more you can get people to praise you, the more valuable you are. That's not true. And our kids are learning a lot of values from movies, from video games, from songs, from their friends, from all of culture, all these things that aren't true. It's important to teach our kids the three basic temptations of life. The only good thing you can say about Satan is he's entirely predictable and he doesn't have any new temptations. There are only three temptations. The Bible calls them the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It has to do with how I feel, what I do, and what I get in life. Secularists or philosophy would call them hedonism, materialism, and secularism. But basically, it's sex, salary, and status. It's basically saying life is about three things: getting all the good things you can, possessions, having all of the pleasure you want, regardless of how it hurts other people, passion, and becoming important and having status, that's position. These are the three temptations that Jesus went through, that Moses went through, that Adam went through. I could take you through the whole Bible. And teaching our kids what these are so they can recognize false values, that what matters most in life is sex, what matters most in life is money, and what matters most in life is power, prestige, and popularity. They're just not true. And every single advertising ever created by anybody appeals to one of these three temptations. Every single one. Every print ad, broadcast ad, TV ad appeals to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And the product says, you get our product, you'll be sensual, you'll feel good, you just have all kinds of pleasure inside of you. You'll be envied. You're number one. We do what's best for you. Look out for number one. And I got to do what's best for me. And it's all about you, you, you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. We pray that God uses this teaching from Pastor Rick to help you discover more deeply the hope that our relationship with Jesus Christ provides in every area of your life. Right now, a generous friend of the broadcast is offering a $10,000 matching grant for listeners giving a gift to Daily Hope for the very first time. Now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. You know, my hope is that God uses this broadcast to help deepen your relationship with Jesus. Now, these Daily Hope messages are distributed on radio stations and digital platforms all across the globe, and listeners are writing and letting us know that their lives are being changed. They're telling us that they're walking with Jesus and that guilt and fear has been chased from their lives by God's love. You know, relationships are being restored and marriages are being healed, and many people are saying that they found their life purpose. I want to say thank you to you, because we're only able to carry the hope of Jesus to these people all around the world because of gifts from generous listeners like you. I just wanted to say I am so grateful for those of you who have consistently given throughout this past year. And I can't thank you enough for your prayers and your financial support. Now, I understand in times like these, many of you are unable to give financial support. Hear it from me. That's okay. Because I never want anybody to give unless God leads them to give. That's between you and God, not between you and me, but between you and God. And your prayers are a continual and incredible contribution to this Daily Hope ministry. Now, if you do want to give a financial gift, I've got some really great news to share with you. There's a generous friend of Daily Hope broadcast who is offering to match the amount of your very first gift. In other words, if you give $20, then that person has combined it with a grant to make your gift $40. Your first gift will be double to go twice as far. Now, if you've never given a gift to Daily Hope, I want you to pray about partnering with us so that together we can continue to share the hope of Jesus throughout the whole world. I love you so much.
Just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And thanks for partnering with Daily Hope to take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.